The 40 days of Lent are a time of longing. Longing for poetry to overwhelm the world, for justice to roll down like a mighty stream, for the last pages of death to be turned over once and for all. The 40 days of Lent are also a time of making our hearts ready for God's poem of resurrection, our eyes ready for amazement, our souls ready for the joy that is to come. Join us as we journey together for the 40 days of Lent, walking with God, who gives us hearts to long for the songs of spring and hands to help make all things new on Easter morning.
I wanna dunk down, down into the river. Wanna dunk down all the way down. Say, dunk down, down into the river. Gonna let it go all the way down. Say, oh Lord, here I go, let it go. Oh Lord, here I go, let it roll. Oh Lord, here I go, let it go. Let it go all the way down. Let it go all the way down.
Don't down, down into the river. Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things.
We've come closer than we wanted. We've seen what we never should, and we will not be the same. We'll never be the same, no. Like steel, we are so resilient. Too much, and we're weak as children. We were not meant to be made witness to these scenes, no. Shots in a broken palace, planes crashing and burn around us. It's different than it ever was, darker than it's ever been. 3 shouts and thank God I found you, with the crowd and the fog around you. I'll never let you fall, I'll never let you fall. Oh heaven, can you hear us? Changing us forever. 2 kids in a crooked alley, school canceled again, and now they won't learn a single lesson except how to load a weapon. Right here on this old soil, we hope for peace and we pray for joy, but like everybody else, we're still fighting with ourselves. Changing us forever. Changing us forever. Oh heaven, can you hear us? Right now we are not sure, but I hope.
Welcome to Online Worship with the Table for February the 21st. We are so grateful to be in this together, even while we're physically apart, watching over one another in love, by sharing in worship from our homes to wherever you happen to be tuning in right now. My name is Matt Smith, and along with Linda Duhirsu, we serve as the co-pastors for this community of faith, and we long here at the Table to be a community which celebrates God's unconditional love for all. And here at the Table, we believe that all truly does mean all. Today we gather for the first Sunday in the season of Lent. This is a 40-day journey that followers of Jesus make around the world toward the hope and the beauty and the mystery and power of resurrection on Easter. Throughout these weeks in worship, we will hold together the readings assigned to the Global Christian Church in conversation with poetry from Mary Oliver. On our website, you'll find a Lenten devotional resource, which we'd encourage you to take a moment and download if you haven't already. We hope the Lenten devotional resource will help all of us to root our lives in grace, to grow in faith and reach in love and give generously throughout this Lenten journey. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, we'd invite you to text the word new to the number that's appearing there on your screen. And when you're ready to meet others and learn a little bit more about how we share in life together, we invite you to sign up on our website for a six-week series that Pastor Linda and I teach together called Growing in Faith. We currently have two groups journeying through Growing in Faith, and we've added a third. Our next Growing in Faith series will begin on Tuesday, April the 13th. We will gather online from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. You'll find more information and a registration form on our website, thetableumc.org. We are going to continue to move now in worship together with our music team's version of a song called I Know I've Been Changed.
Oh, no, I've been changed. Oh, I know I've been changed. Oh, I know I've been changed. The angels in the heaven gonna sign my name. The angels in the heaven gonna sign my name. I know I've been changed. Oh, I know I've been changed. Oh, I know I've been changed. The angels in the heaven gonna sign my name. The angels in heaven gonna sign my name. I know I got religion. Lord knows I'm not ashamed. The Holy Ghost is my witness. And then the angels, they're gonna sign my name. Oh, I know I've been changed. Oh, I know I've been changed. The midnight hour, Lord, I'm gonna tell you all what I see. I know I've been changed. The angels in the heaven gone.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, the Spirit descending like a dove on him.
And a voice came from heaven, "You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness.
He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.
As I prepared for the season of Lent and this worship series, I read and reread many of Mary Oliver's poems. Her poetry is simultaneously accessible and hard work. Some of her poems bring people to tears. Others are simply delightfully thought-provoking. Here's one I've been appreciating and I thought you might too. It's called Three Things to Remember. Three things to remember. As long as you're dancing, you can break the rules. Sometimes breaking the rules is just extending the rules. Sometimes there are no rules. I wondered, when are the times in which one needs to remember these three things? Possibly, could it be during a pandemic when Ash Wednesday is approaching and you realize for the very first time in your ministry ever, you don't have ashes made from the burning of palms from the previous year? Or maybe it's when you launch a new ministry called Table Farm and you are asked to explain it again and again and again. How does it even count as a ministry? Because it doesn't fit in the box that people call church. Or maybe it's when, as Pastor Matt shared last week, you're preaching or praying in your own home into a camera lens for 50 weeks in a row. 50 weeks into an empty room, into a camera. Three things to remember. As long as you're dancing, you can break the rules. Sometimes breaking the rules is just extending the rules. Sometimes there are no rules. And we are still God's people. And God is still our God. And we are going to mark the season of Lent in the best ways that we can. And we invite all of you to do the same. So the word Lent comes from an Old English word for lengthen, and it refers to the lengthening of those long anticipated days of spring, as we too begin to notice the lengthening of light in our own neighborhoods. We hope to encourage our community to open our hearts, eyes, minds, and all of our senses, and to try to pay careful attention to what matters most in these 40 days of Lent. We count those 40 days as beginning on Ash Wednesday, and we omit the Sundays through Easter. That's how you come up with 40. Just want you to know. Each week in worship and our kitchen tables, biblical texts from the assigned readings for the Global Christian Church will be held with a poem from Mary Oliver's vast collection in hope that the two will illumine each other and point us towards simple practices to try out for ourselves or in community with others as is possible while we move toward the mystery of Easter. We encourage everyone, to visit our website and to download the Poetry of Lent. It's a companion booklet which will highlight the weekly readings and offer simple practices. You may download this onto the device of your choice and follow it there, or you may print it out on real paper and use real pens and paints and pencils to record your reflections, you can guess which one I'm doing, as we move through the 40 days of Lent. We want you to think of it as your Lenten companion. There's a suggestion each week to light a candle and to be in prayer. And this first week, the suggestion is to light a candle of repentance. So we begin our Lenten journey with ashes just a few days ago, reminding us that we are born from dust and beautifully connected to the earth we walk upon. And today we turn once again to the Gospel of Mark's story of Jesus being baptized by John at the River Jordan and then immediately driven into the wilderness. Now, if some of you are thinking, didn't we just hear this in worship? Or didn't we just talk about this in our kitchen tables, Linda? The answer is yes. It was only last month. But in the Lenten season of repentance, as we encounter this story of Jesus' baptism, we'll turn to it again. And I find it striking that Jesus is baptized, actually, at all. It's one of the things that I wonder about a lot, actually. Maybe you do too. The Gospel of Mark explicitly frames the rite as a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And yet Jesus, the very one with whom God is well pleased, gets in line with everyone who was there with John the Baptist at the River Jordan. That's intriguing. The Gospel of Mark records Jesus' baptism in this way. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." New Testament scholar Osvaldo Vena helped me connect some of the dots when I read his commentary this week. It's been suggested that the people coming to John to be baptized were simply expressing their readiness for the promised kingdom of God. Their repentance and confession pertained to social sins, not innate personal ones, for which they had a recourse through the temple rites. It was an admission that they had somehow participated in a system of oppression and that now they were ready to change in preparation for God's reign. The baptism then was a visible sign of that attitude. Dominant expressions of Christianity today would have us collapse sin into a mere analysis or a review of our actions or inactions. But the depth of our Christian tradition reminds us that it is not merely how we individually react in certain situations. Sin, and I am aware that I am saying a word that can trigger people, so I ask you to stay with me. Sin is also inexplicably bound up in the networks into which we are born. So often we traditionally think of sin in relation to our actions or our inactions. In addition, there are ways that we are born into systems that are unjust, systems of inequality, and those systems shape or malshape our life together. We're linked to sin in this way, both individually and corporately. And Mark's gospel places Jesus in the midst of this human condition. One commentary I read this week called this an expression of the mind-bending humility and solidarity of the incarnation. God stands in line with sinners. And at the same time, it's an example of how repentance can be communal, not just personal. That is, while it's right and good to repent of our individual shortcomings, it's also fitting to take responsibility for those things our community has done or left undone that need changing. After all, in the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Forgive us," not merely, "Forgive me." And then, it says in Mark's Gospel, the Spirit descends like a dove through that torn curtain of a sky. An unassuming bird of the air flutters down. The juxtaposition couldn't be clearer between the ripped open heavens and a gentle cooing dove. We know what a dove sounds like, right? And then comes God's voice. And this voice speaks to Jesus, words which in this moment in time I hear as comforting. "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." And as in the Gospel of Luke, but unlike in the Gospel of Matthew, this affirmation or this announcement, these words of love and comfort are for Jesus's ears alone. It is the journey of our lives, I think, for those words to land upon us too, to be issued from God's lips to our ears as well. To know that we are beloved by God, to feel that belovedness from the top of our head to the tip of our toes and all the way deep into our bones. It is Mary Oliver's first line: "You do not have to be good." For some of us, this is a relief. For some of us, it's an unbelievable statement. You do not have to be good. Do you believe it? I understand if you don't. It's an undertaking. Because we doubt that God's unconditional, unearnable love is for everyone, including us. If God only heard my inner critic, we say, then God would know the truth. I'm not good enough. I think in that very moment is when we get confused and think doing good is the same as being good. I'm going to read from Mary Oliver's Wild Geese again. "You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting." It would be easier though, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Because then you could point down to your skinned and really scarred up knees and say, "Well, that was really hard work. I made it. I did it." In this way, you, me, people, believe we've earned God's love. But she says, you only have to let this soft animal of your body love what it loves. God's words to Jesus come when he is still dripping wet. The waters of his baptism have drenched the soft animal of his body. He hasn't done anything in particular except maybe get in line with his community. But that's something. Getting in line to come to the waters of baptism within God's beloved community is the best way I know to quiet the voices that harangue and plague us so that we are in a position to hear God's cooing affirmation. And if you would like to talk about getting in line, considering baptism for either yourself or member of your family, please reach out to either me or Pastor Matt, and we would love to have a conversation with you about that. Because these chances and moments, they can be as fleeting for us as Mark records they are for Jesus. For just as quickly as he is baptized and the heavens open, that same gentle dove, well, she turns into a wild goose, by which the ancient Celtics called the Holy Spirit. Wild goose was called the Holy Spirit. That wild goose immediately drives Jesus into the wilderness, hissing and nipping at his heels. Have you ever been chased by a goose? It is not fun. They are insistent and they are loud and they are mean, honestly. At least they are when you're 8 years old and you're at your grandmother's ranch and they come after you. All you want to do is flee from cooing dove to wild goose. Having entered Jesus at his baptism, the Holy Spirit compels him. Scripture says, "And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him." Many of us are familiar with the three tests that Satan puts before Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. But Mark's version doesn't go there. Instead, it remains striking to me for its brevity and mystery and its mention of wild beasts. Scholars read this brevity in relation to the Hebrew scriptures, which paint a picture of both a peaceable kingdom where the lion would lie down with the lamb, and a holy way or a highway for God in which the path is safe from wild animals for God's people to travel on. In either case, what those images call to mind is a sense of a reordering of boundaries. Old rules and expectations of how things would be no longer apply in the same way when Jesus is present. The crooked path is made plain. The oppressed are set free. The rich, they are sent away empty. So it is left to us to imagine what goes on out there in the wilderness. What do you think Jesus' encounter was like for him? What do we do when we are surrounded by wild beasts and tempted by the devil? Mary Oliver seems to know a little bit about this too. She wrote, "Tell me about your despair." Often our despair is grounded in the experience that we are not tempted to do what we cannot do, but what we can. The testing is one of strength, and the stronger and the more capable, whatever that capability might be, the greater the temptation. There is a line from a really old preacher. His name was George Buttrick, and my preaching professor shared this with us. It was about temptation, and I've never forgotten it. He said, "You do not have a sea storm in a roadside puddle." When the temptation is real, it most certainly is deceptive. Temptation is not obvious. It doesn't happen like this. "Hey, hi, Linda, I'm Satan. I'm here to tempt you." The tempter often looks and sounds like a friend or a relative. That's why Jesus yells at his friend, Simon Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." His friend. At the heart of deception are offers that make it seem like we will not fail, but we will rise. The tempter in Eden doesn't ask Adam and Eve, "Do you wish to be like the devil?" Rather, the tempter asks, "Do you wish to be like God?" So, if you really are the Son of God, the tempter says to Jesus. The great preacher Fred Craddock writes of this scene, and he points out, "There is nothing here of the debauchery often associated with temptation. No self-respecting Satan would approach a person with offers of personal, social, and professional ruin. That is in the small print at the bottom of the temptation." Still wet from his baptism, Jesus struggles, apparently, with the burden that lies within the words, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." I think we struggle too. But you only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. So may we too allow ourselves to live into our belovedness. And meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination and calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. Amen.
Amen, and thank you, Pastor Linda. Personal and communal prayer have helped followers of Jesus throughout the generations to name what Mary Oliver invites the despair, yours, the despair you feel, the despair I feel. Personal and communal prayer throughout the generations have helped followers of Jesus to also listen amidst those feelings of despair for God's claiming each of us as God's beloved children. And we pray in many, many different ways here at the table. Throughout this season of Lent, we will turn each week to the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples generations ago, what the Christian church calls the Lord's Prayer. Each week, we'll share a different rendering of the Lord's Prayer. And so I want to invite you to simply take a deep breath in this moment and to settle into a spirit of prayer together as we turn toward these ancient words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. I want to invite you to address God, to name God in the way that is most true to your own heart, your own lived experience with God. I want to invite you, it's going to be on the screen before us, and I'm going to share it in English, but I want to invite you to share this prayer in whatever your heart language might be. And so in this moment, just invite us to take a deep breath, to trust in this moment in the love of God that is already here among us. As we turn our hearts and our minds, our bodies and souls toward the love of God in this time of prayer. So let us join our voices in these ancient words Jesus taught his disciples. Let us pray. Abba, Ima, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. The Spirit of God calls to us like the wild geese, as Mary Oliver shares, announcing our place in the family of things, inviting us to turn our bodies, our hearts, our souls, indeed our whole being toward the love of God, calling us ever deeper into lives of healing and hope and generosity. And so we want to invite you in this moment to join with us here at the table by going to our website, thetableumc.org, to make a gift in gratitude for God's fierce and unconditional love for you and for the whole world. Your gift will help our community of faith to align more deeply with the movement of God, which is always already redeeming the world before us. You'll find a link on our website in the upper right to make a one-time gift to support our ministries here at the table, or a simple process to set up recurring giving. If you'd prefer, it's also always possible to give by text. And to do that on your phone, simply text any amount to the number that's appearing there on your screen. Your gift will go directly to supporting our life together, our ministries here at the table. And for that, again, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your deep generosity and the ways that you practice your faith here at the table. We want to encourage you to take a next step by maybe sharing this online worship experience, copying it in your browser and sending it via email, or just sharing it right here on Facebook with a family member or a friend, a person you know who you wonder if they might find something in this worship that could speak to where they are in this moment. We want to invite you as well to text the word new to learn a little bit more about our community. Just text the word new to the phone number there on your screen, and that'll enter you into a conversation that we've set up. And when you're ready to connect a little more intimately with others, to learn a little bit more about how we share in life together here at the table, we invite you to go to our website and to sign up for the next 6-week Growing in Faith series, which Pastor Linda and I will teach together. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. over 6 Tuesday evenings in a row, beginning April the 13th. We are grateful for this time together and for the Spirit which is indeed calling us through this Lenten journey as we hold our lives in conversation with the gospel and with the poetry of Mary Oliver. We're going to go out this day to our music team's version of a song called Are We Not One? So I invite you to join your voice, if you feel so led, to join your voice with our musicians in this powerful song that reminds us of who we are and whose we are, and then calls us into the world. So may we go in peace, loving God, loving our neighbors, in all that we do and all that we are. Amen.
Oh, are we rivers coursing every valley? Oh, are we waves upon the shores of time? Oh, are we stardust gathered through the ages? Are we not dreams of the one eternal mind? Oh, are we trees rising to the heavens? Oh, are we flowers unfettered by the thorn? Oh, are we pillars of a great eternal temple? Are we not one? Oh Lord, are we not yours? Have we not joy in the midst of every shadow?
Have we not hope
in the deepest of the dark?
Have we not peace
that passes understanding?
fashioned in your image. Oh, are we daughters carrying your name? Oh, are we families across the generations? Are we not sparks from an everlasting flame? Of the dark,
have we not peace
that passes understanding?
Have we not love?
Oh, are we light summoned by the light? Oh, are we gleaming and dancing on the shore? Lord, can we hold each other through the crossing? Are we not one? Oh Lord, are we not yours? Are we not one?